Good morning to you as we gather together for worship. It is a privilege to be together wherever we might be. As we gather for worship and as we begin our worship together, invite you to sing along as we sing together, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness."
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia.
And so we turn to our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, as we seek your kingdom, as we become aware of your presence, Lord, so we lift our praise to you. We know that as we gather together, Lord, you are with us wherever we are, and we are so deeply grateful for that element of grace, for being with us in this very moment. As we worship you, Lord, in our singing, in our listening, in our being, we pray that you would be the one who is honored. Lord, we lift your name on high, and we worship you. We acknowledge you as Lord and Savior. We acknowledge, Lord, that we have chosen you as our Lord, even though you chose us before we were even aware. And so we share in this deep relationship with you, that's sometimes difficult to understand or even explain. But Lord, we are deeply appreciative for your grace, your love, your mercy, and that you are with us. And so we share together in the prayer that Christ has taught us as we say together.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
It's sometimes really hard to work out what people want. what people are looking for from us or from different things. The husband whose wife tells him that he needs to bring her flowers. And then when he does bring her flowers, then she says, well, what did you do wrong? Or she cries or is unhappy about something. And somehow there just seems to be this misunderstanding. Or a boss whose requirements for work seems to be erratic and the goalposts seem to change frequently. Or a teacher whose grading appears to be erratic and inconsistent. Or a parent whose boundaries are inconsistent. And we often jest and say, well, do as I say and not as I do. But that leaves people in a real quandary about what's right and what needs to be. What about God? If we struggle with that about what do people want from us or what do people want, what about God? Do we have trouble figuring out what God wants from us? Do you know what God wants from you? This is different from what is God's will for my life. It is more along the lines of what does God want me to do in my everyday living, in everyday life? What does God want? If we look at the Old Testament, we see that some of the prophets that God called, he asked them to do some pretty bizarre things. Isaiah was told to walk around naked and barefoot for 3 years. Jeremiah was told to buy a linen belt, bury it, and then he was told to wear it. He was also told that he needed to smash clay jars in front of the nation's leaders. Ezekiel was told that he had to lie on his left side for 390 days and then for 40 days on his right side. Hosea had to marry a prostitute while she stayed in business. And then God said he had to name his son, "Not my people." Those are pretty bizarre kind of requests or even expectations. The interesting thing about all of those things was that they were all there to make a spiritual point. There was a purpose behind them, as bizarre as they might have looked. In our reading for this morning, we're going to be reading about how Jesus does two very strange, maybe even bizarre things, but all to illustrate a spiritual point. Our reading comes from Mark chapter 11, verses 11 through to verse 21. And the context of the passage is this is just after the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And so we hear these words from Mark's gospel. Jesus curses the fig tree. The next day, as they were coming back from Bethany, Jesus was hungry. He saw in the distance a fig tree covered with leaves. So he went to see if he could find figs on it. But when he came to it, he found only leaves, because it was not the right time for figs. Jesus said to the fig tree, "No one shall ever eat figs from you again." And his disciples heard him. Jesus goes to the temple. When they arrived in Jerusalem, Jesus went to the temple and began to drive out all those who were buying and selling. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the stools of those who sold pigeons. And he would not let anyone carry anything through the temple courtyards. He then taught the people, "It is written in the scriptures that God said, 'My temple will be called a house of prayer for the people of all nations.' But you have turned it into a hideout for thieves." The chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this, so they began looking for some way to kill Jesus. They were afraid of him, because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. When evening came, Jesus and his disciples left the city. The lesson from the fig tree. Early next morning, as they walked along the road, they saw the fig tree. It was dead all the way down to its roots. Peter remembered what had happened and he said to Jesus, Look, teacher, the fig tree you cursed has died. Just to put that a little bit more into context, Jesus went to the temple straight after his entry into Jerusalem. He saw what was happening in the temple, but it was late. And so the reading we've just read happens the day after the entry into Jerusalem. And two interesting things happen, as we saw, or as we heard in that passage. One, Jesus curses the fig tree. And secondly, Jesus clears the temple. But just like the Old Testament prophets that we spoke about earlier, Jesus is making a spiritual point. The cursing of the fig tree is not about a hunger or a food issue. It's not about Jesus often went without food. In fact, it wasn't even fig season. So there wasn't even the expectation that there should be figs on the fig tree. It is also not about Jesus throwing his toys out the cot or even getting angry. The fig tree is a reference to Israel's status before God. Hear these two passages from the Old Testament as the prophet Jeremiah and Hosea speak. We first read from Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 13. I wanted to gather my people as a farmer gathers a harvest, but they are like a vine with no grapes, like a fig tree with no figs. Even the leaves have withered. And in Hosea chapter 2, I will destroy her grapevines and her fig trees. I will turn her vineyards and orchards into wilderness. The tree is judged because it looked promising, but in reality, it didn't have any fruit. Jesus contrasts, if you like, the appearance from a distance with the reality of revealed by closer inspection. I remember a number of years ago, we went on holiday to a place called Mikey's Fontein. We'd always wanted to go there. We'd always had this sort of dream, you know, we hear about Mikey's Fontein. We researched it a little bit. And so we were quite excited as we set out on our journey. There was a fair amount of anticipation. However, when we got there, we were rather disappointed. It appeared rather run down, drab. Yet you could still see the potential in all that was there. The appearance from a distance was very attractive, but the reality revealed on closer inspection showed a different story. If all we have is leaves and no fruit, we can expect judgment. If all we have is leaves and no fruit, we can expect judgment. Now, with that in mind, notice what happens. As Jesus proceeds to the temple, he was there the night before. He'd already seen what was happening within the temple, but because it was late, they went further on and came back the next day. Jesus comes into the temple area. And also, it would be helpful just to remind ourselves the importance of the temple in the worship of the Israelites. The Jews placed huge importance on the temple. They frantically defend it. There were tons or hundreds of pilgrims, thousands of pilgrims, who traveled to come and worship in the temple. It was the place where God resided. There was a real sense that in this place is where God is. So there was magnificence in that. And we read about the different ways that the temple was decorated with gold awnings and images, with decorations, and it housed the covenant box. And so the temple becomes a sacred place. Jesus comes into the temple area that had been turned into a marketplace a county fair, a place where there were thieves, people manipulating and people taking advantage of others. And so Jesus drives them out. They had misused the purpose of the temple. Israel had an impressive outward religion, but no fruit. Israel was judged because they appeared to be religious, but in reality, on closer inspection, there was no genuine spiritual fruit. Jesus will judge us for appearing to have fruit, but not having any. Jesus will judge us for appearing to be spiritual, while at the same time we're dead in our faith. In fact, we're pretty good at making sure that we have good, healthy, green-looking leaves. But when there is church attendance without devotion to Jesus, when we talk the talk but we don't walk the talk or walk the walk, it is an indication that there is no fruit. In fact, God prefers those whose leaves don't look so good but are still growing fruit. You see, what God wants from all of us, what God is looking for in each of us, is for us to grow spiritual fruit. We need green leaves, but there needs to be fruit. There needs to be the reality, the essence of growth, more than just what is in appearance, what it looks like. There needs to be fruit, and fruit comes from deep within. Spiritual fruit is how we glorify God. Spiritual fruit is how we show that we really are followers of our Lord Jesus. It's the fruit that's got to grow. So maybe our leaves aren't always that green, but is the fruit growing? Good, healthy fruit is born by us reaching out to others. It's by us taking what we know about our faith and living that out in everyday life. It's about us being compassionate to those around us. It's about us becoming aware of a need and doing our utmost to meet that need in the best way that we can and are able to. It's about us taking the love that we've received from God and passing that love on to others. It's about us sharing what we have with those who do not have. Good, healthy fruit is about reaching out to others by walking with them in their struggle, in their pain, in their suffering. It's about meeting the needs of those around us, not necessarily in a material way, but in an emotional way. Maybe in a material and a physical way, if we have the means. But being present is an incredible gift to those, to people around us. Reaching out to others in the way that we serve. For those who make sure that this recording happens. For those who make sure that church happens on a Sunday. Those who arrange flowers or serve tea or make sure that communion's set out. Those who welcome people at the door with a smile and a sense that people feel that they can be part of this. As we worship together in community, we might not always sing in tune, but we sing and we worship together. And together we encourage one another. We serve one another. Good fruit is grown when we reach out to others. What does God want from us? He wants us to grow fruit, spiritual fruit, kingdom fruit. And he wants us to do it for the kingdom, for his glory. May we be healthy fruit growers as we keep walking with Jesus, keeping company with our Lord and our Saviour. Let's sing together a song that does draw us into that place. Brother, sister, let me serve you. Let me be as Christ to you.
Brother, sister, let me serve you. Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant too. We are pilgrims on a journey, we're companions on the road. We are here to help each other walk the mile and bear the load.
I will hold the Christ light for you in the night time of your fear. I will hold my hand out to you, speak the peace you long.
So we turn to our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Father God, the call to reach out to others is one that is expressed so often through the Gospels. The way of expressing compassion. So Lord, we pray that we may be people who do that. We all know people who are struggling with illness, with struggle. We pray, Lord, we may be those people who reach out to them. A phone call of encouragement. A visit with a cupcake. A letter that reminds them that they're in our prayers. We pray for them, which is a means of reaching out. Lord, we lift up those people whom we know who are in need, whether it be illness, or some other physical thing that they're going through, some circumstance that they're facing that is just so overwhelming, some relationship issue where they're confused, frustrated, demoralized. May we be there for them. May we serve them, Lord, as pilgrims on the way. May we walk with people. May we encourage, may we love, may we gently minister, may we be patient, may we be humble, may we bring joy into places of sadness. Lord, we can only do this through your Spirit. We pray that your Spirit would fill us and equip us to be people who reach out to those around us. As we do that, Lord, we pray you would keep growing within us a desire to reach out. Give us compassion for others. Give us empathy for those who are struggling. Give us the right words to speak. Give us wisdom to know what to do, what to say, where to be. Lord, lead us and guide us as we reach out to others. And in that, we pray, Lord, you would grow us from deep within, and that our leaves wouldn't only be green, but that, Lord, we would have healthy spiritual fruit. Bless us, lead us, and guide us, we pray. Amen. And so today we conclude our service as we sing together the benediction.
Oh,